And welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
That is very true. Well, we have quite a busy show lined up for you today. A little later on, we will be hearing from the folks at Gaywire. Now, you may recognize their name. I mentioned them last week when they broke the clip from Mark Smith in Alberta. That was the guy who gave a sermon that was said to compare homosexuality to paedophilia. So they broke that news, and we talked about it last week. But that's not who we're talking about this week. But they are going to be giving us access to this segment that they put out on Thursday, prior to us recording, where they talk about the fact that the Edmonton Pride Festival, they've decided to cancel it.
Oh, yes.
So we'll get their take, and then we'll offer you a little bit of our national insight into that topic a little later. Now, for those of who may not know, we have a sideline gig where we work with the folks on Queer News. Broadly speaking, those folks are one and the same.
Yes.
We are them, they are us.
Yes.
But yeah, we work with Queer News, which is an LGBT subscription news service. You sign up and you get LGBT news sent straight to your door. Well, to your email inbox.
To your inbox, yeah.
Absolutely. So queer.news. Now, I mention this because we put together an article for them looking at whether or not Grindr is a national security issue for Canada.
Right. And we've been talking about this on and off for the past few weeks because there's a lot of concern that it almost definitely is for the United States. And I think I remember reading something about Russia, but we didn't talk about it, that they also have it listed as a potential security concern. Oh, and China wants the owner to sell it because they're afraid that it's a security concern for China because it drills a hole through the Great Firewall.
Many, many reasons.
Yeah.
So the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, CFIUS, they essentially were worried about it. Now, they've almost never... They look at whether or not foreign companies are buying things. Like, for example, Rupert Murdoch, before he got sold to Disney, he's Australian, and there was issues with him buying up Fox. He actually became an American citizen so he could buy Fox.
Right.
But that was partly to get around that foreign investment issue and sort of foreign ownership barrier.
Right.
So they look into things like that. They're pretty inactive. But recently they've been looking at data protection issues. So in 2016, the Chinese gaming company Kunlun bought into Grindr. They bought a 60% stake at about 98 million US.
Mm-hmm.
It makes Grindr worth about 150 million at the time. Bearing in mind, in 2016, there were about 280,000 Canadian users of Grindr.
Right.
So I think there may be more now. It certainly has been growing in terms of popularity.
A lot of people attribute it to Craigslist shutting down the personals, that all the other apps got flooded after that.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
So the issue is that Grindr has a bit of a track record of leaking data. Well, not necessarily leaking data, but having ways of being able to access the data that makes it a bit challenging.
And we should be clear that the kind of data we're talking about is almost exclusively and entirely geolocation data, which generally speaking may or may not be a problem. For your average person on the street, because the geolocator in your phone can be accurate to within a couple meters. So it's a very, very accurate device.
Yeah.
But when Grindr actually gives distances to other people, they always fudge the numbers so that you can't stalk people.
Well, they don't fudge the numbers. That's what the issue is.
They intend to fudge the numbers, but it's very easy to work around it just by triangulating and blah, blah, blah.
Grindr says that they use an approximate. They measure it, the distance is measured in kilometers. The problem with that is that when you have distances measured in kilometers, in reality, you can get measurements as accurate as centimeters.
Yeah.
So in 2013, going way back, cast your mind, some security companies were looking into Tinder. and realized that Tinder, when it was going from the server to the app in your phone, was actually sending the information of the longitude and latitude, as in the exact GPS position, yeah, of other users.
Yeah.
So it didn't take an awful lot of a genius to be like, okay, well, I want to know exactly where everyone is.
Yeah.
And that was the issue. Tinder changed it. They fixed it. They've changed that.
And when it's on client side, so that when the act of fudging the numbers is done in your phone, you can just hack your device to work around that. If it's server side, so that the people hosting the service on some server somewhere in the world, if the numbers are being fudged on that side and they're sending you wrong information, that would be the easiest way to clean up that security issue. Yeah.
So the issue is actually for Grindr, and in 2014, so right after Tinder, they're like, let's look at some other guys. And they looked at Grindr, and they found that Grindr servers were sending Grindr, the app, certain information. It wasn't sending the exact information, but it was enough information that they could triangulate somebody,
yeah,
within a foot,
yeah,
of where they actually are.
Yeah.
Now, Grindr says, don't worry, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. It'll be fine. We're going to fix it. It'll be fine. At the time in 2014, 24 France, Radio 24 France, was reporting that LGBT activists in Egypt were saying that Egyptian authorities were using this to be able to very much locate and round up Egyptian LGBT folks. So it right. does have real urgent security issues.
And the other thing is that none of these apps, well, as far as I know, none of these apps, I should probably double check this, but I'm pretty sure none of these apps will even let you access them until you turn your geolocator on.
No, Grindr you can access with your geolocation turned off. You'll just see who was nearby last time you were there.
Oh.
Or it wouldn't load, or it may not load them at all. You can still access messages.
Or it may be like in your city or something like that.
It'll you can access messages. So in 2016, a bit after this issue, some researchers at Kyoto University in Japan were able to use trilateration.
Did you say Kyoto?
Yeah, I misread it. It was Kyoto.
Kyoto.
A university in Japan used
Kyoto.
Trilateration, where essentially they look for somebody, and what they'll do is they'll put two fake Grindr people either side of where they think they are,
yeah,
and then they'll find out what the distance is between fake person one and the target, fake person two and the target, and fake person one and two to kind of triangulate, and they'll do it maybe a couple of times. And what Huang, the researcher, told Wired is that you can draw six circles, and the intersections of the circles will be the location of the targeted person.
Yeah.
And that can, again, yet again, get to within feet
yeah.
of where they are. This is 2016.
Yeah.
So 2014, triangulation, an issue. 2016, trilateration, an issue. You'd
yeah.
think maybe at this point they're going to fix it. Maybe that could be where this is going.
I mean, part of the problem is that what's there to fix? If you're in somewhere like Canada or the Netherlands where human and civil rights are completely and totally enshrined, the app would not work as intended, and it wouldn't function in its intended use if it was not at least moderately accurate. So the issue is that it is a security breach issue in certain given contexts. So one of the things that came up is that you can locate, that when military service members use this, you can locate where they are in the world. It
yeah.
could be their facilities. Like some countries, we won't say who, have hidden bases all over the world.
U.S.
Well, I mean, Russia's not exactly innocent of that either. More so the U.S. than anyone else.
I mean,
they're the
I see what you're saying,
yeah.
you know, and this is part of the argument. Grindr needs location services for you to know who's nearby.
Yeah.
But they do not need the level of
yeah.
accuracy that's here.
And there are ways around that. So, I mean, like Google Maps does have neighborhoods listed in it, and you can just interact with that. So, you know, we are here in Sandy Hill, Ottawa. So if you just put in that you're in Sandy Hill, Ottawa, it would just list everybody else who's in that area
mm-hmm.
and all the adjacent areas as well. So it would also, I mean, you don't really need to know Ottawa's.
But
you, like,
but Tinder works on the same principle of who's nearby, And they aren't having the same issues that Grindr are having.
Right. Well, I mean, because they figured out a workaround.
Absolutely.
And it's really, it's just about finding workarounds.
Do you remember in 2018 when Cockblocked came out?
Yes, I do.
So Cockblocked, I do remember the actual name. It was a website where you could log in with your Grindr information.
Yeah.
And it would show you who's blocked you.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who created that, Trevor Faden, actually used an API, much like the same one in 2014 and 2016. And it was the same sort of issue as what Cambridge Analytica used to access all of the Facebook information.
Okay.
So they used an app that gives you permission, and then it just dragnets all the data off you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how it accesses the vast info on about 50 million people. So Cockblock did the same thing. You could well see who has blocked you, but what it gave Faden, and he didn't look at any of the information, but what it gave him access to was, again, all of the geolocation data with extreme accuracy that he could find people within a foot. And this is 2 years after the same issue had been applied. That's 2018.
No elevation, though. So if you're in an apartment building, you know, he'll know you're in the 7 series, but he won't know if you're in 1207 or 407.
That's true. So stand on, be in building.
Being in an apartment, yeah. Get a condo in a tall building. That's how you...
So that came out in January, and Grindr immediately fixed the problem. I think it was up for a week or two.
Okay.
That's in January. Come April, sorry, it was in March, and then in April, within a month, they get slammed for handing over HIV data to those third-party suppliers, if you remember that story.
I do remember this, yeah.
Yeah. Within days, they're like, yeah, sorry, our bad. We're not really sure why we're giving HIV data, along with geolocation and email addresses, to an app optimization company.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. And then, fast forward from April to September, which is hardly any time at all, at an app by the name of FUCKR, not going to say it, launches, same principle, you log in with your Grindr details, and this one actually shows you everybody nearby. So it taps into the exact same API data but it taps into the same information using a depository that was on GitHub to find it out. And what they did, and it was revealed on Queer Europe, and this is really interesting. They said that the reason why these locations can be determined so precisely, and we're talking within minutes, you can find people within 2 to 5 meters of where they are.
Right.
The reason why it's so precise is that Grindr uses a geohash of 12 characters to create the users, which equals to a square on the atlas of about 37 by 18 centimeters.
Okay.
So they say, you know, where, you know, it's not, it's a, you know, it's, you know, it's within the rough square mile, where it's actually within the rough 37 centimeters of where you are.
I mean, there's so many other ways, because I know that, like, if you're shopping online and you're looking at something at, like, Home Depot, and it'll say which one of these is closest to you, the reason why it knows that you're in the location you're in is because it locates you relative to the closest cell tower.
Yeah.
And that's a very good workaround, because it's just, you know, everyone who's close to the cell tower that you're tapped into, that would be a good way of really giving a hard fudge to your location, but still telling everyone nearby.
But the issue is that...
Like, what I'm saying is that there's a million ways around this, and they have done the exact wrong thing.
But let's be clear here. Grindr does what everyone else like that does.
Yeah.
Except the detail in the amount of distance from A to B is so precise that by setting up the equivalent of dummy cell towers, you can actually triangulate exactly where they are. So the precise degree of distance that they're applying how you can spoof and create the trilateration.
That's not what I'm saying, though. Like, the only data that gets set out is the location of the closest cell tower, not your location. Like, there's ways around this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's ways around this, and I don't know.
So we contacted the
Canadian... If you're a coder at Grindr, call us. We have ideas.
So we contacted the Canadian Department of Defense, as well as Public Safety Canada. Public Safety Canada was like, oh, you're already talking to them? Cool, we'll let them answer. and I'm like, okay, that's fine. So we reached out to the RCMP, DOD, and Public Safety. DOD got back to us, the Department of Defense and Canadian Armed Forces. And they say, and I quote, security briefings are provided to all D&D CAF personnel to help them navigate the potential risks of personal internet and social media use and understand their security responsibilities and how to ensure they are protected by adequate security measures. Now,
that translates to our people know how to take care of themselves.
Yeah, we asked for a bit of clarification on that one. So what they told us in the sort of follow-up information is the operational security, the OPSEC, I appreciate they give me the acronym.
Okay.
The OPSEC is paramount to the Canadian Armed Forces. There are directives from Canadian Joint Operations Command that provide direction, guidance, and information to deployed on missions commanders, commanding officers, military and civilian staff for the effective and safe use of social media and associated devices. But here is the really key bit that they told us. These directives include, for instance, the requirement that automatic geolocation be disabled on personal devices and the metadata pertaining to specific location and time be stripped from posts. So essentially, the reason why the Canadian Armed Forces, and I quote here, are confident our existing measures and pre-deployment briefings will continue to provide our personnel with the tools they need to keep them and their operations safe, and why by extension, and sorry, unquote, and why by extension, they do not consider Grindr to be a national security risk, is because, and drumroll, they turn it off.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, most people in these roles have two phones. They have their work phone and their personal phone. So it's just their work phone can't access the kind of geolocation functionality in their phone to let the thing even function at all. Mm. That doesn't mean they don't have a personal phone in their pocket.
But their personal phone also, according to this directive, should have the geolocation disabled.
I doubt that all government employees have that disabled at all times.
Now, we're not saying at all times.
Just while they're at work.
The Canadian Armed Forces, when they're deployed, there is a security directive saying that they must disable geolocation on their phones.
Okay.
So if you go back and look at why the US is worried, they're talking about they're worried about the data breaches. And a part of Grindr's ongoing issue is the geolocation.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Canadian Armed Forces have said is, if you ever go anywhere, if you're at home, whatever, you do you, you're off duty, you're off the clock, you're off, you're at home, you do you. We have no policies about what you do off duty regarding apps. That's actually, they told us about that.
Yeah, that's nice.
But if you're on duty, you're on location, you turn it off.
Well, I mean, if you're, let's say, a sniper in the hills of some country, you should probably not have a personal phone on you anyway.
You shouldn't be checking Grindr to see who's within 200
like,
feet.
You should only have standard issue equipment that's relevant to what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't see that giving you away. I mean, I'm sure they have a policy about what kind of equipment you can take with you when you're in the field. So, I don't know. This kind of approach where they're basically saying it's a non-issue because we have regulations that basically prevent it from even functioning in the first place while they're in certain environments. It kind of feels like a cop-out, but it also kind of feels like that's the only answer.
It's a very sensible approach.
It's the only real answer. It's just, if they're somewhere where we don't want someone else to know where they are, they don't have their phone on them.
Turn off the GPS trackers. Absolutely. Well, the Canadian Department of Defense told us there is no policy preventing CAF members accessing these sites while off-duty, which is what I said.
Mm.
And the applications themselves are not considered to be a DND CAF security risk. So unlike the Americans, Canada does not consider Grindr a national security risk because they turn it off.
We also don't have
moral
secret
of the
bases.
Story. And I was very politely informed by the Department of Defense that we do not have secret bases when any implication was made thereof. So I apologize to defense for implying that maybe you do. But we were firmly told that no, they don't. We're going to be playing Leon Else with Change Up. This is an emerging artist out of the States, and we'll be back just after this. I just want to be at home next to your body.
But I know you won't be back at the apartment. And now I'm in the bathroom doing lines again. I told myself I would and now I'm high again. I had to, I've been listening to all your friends. Telling me you told them we've come to an end. I'm the last to know. Baby, how you gonna go and change up? You've been treating me like I'm a stranger. Why you wanna go and throw away love? All I wanna do is try and save us. Baby, how you gonna go and change up? You've been treating me like I'm a stranger. Why you wanna go and throw away love? Baby, how you gonna go and change up? Why you change up? Tell me why you change up. Trying to drink the pain away, but it ain't working. I just wanna call you up and say I'm hurting. No one's ever made me feel this. And now I'm in the bathroom doing lines again. I told myself I would and now I'm high again. I had to, I've been listening to all your friends. I'm the last to know. Baby, how you gonna go and change up? You've been treating me like I'm a stranger. Why you wanna go and throw away love? All I wanna do is try and save us. Baby, how you gonna go and change up? You've been treating me like I'm a stranger. Why you wanna go and throw away love? Baby, how you gonna go and change up? Why you change up? Tell me why you change up. Change up with a face full of that snow. The pain make my heart go. Bada boom, bada boom, bada boom. Bada boom, bada boom, bada boom. But I just don't wanna go home. Cause I'm scared of being alone. Missing you, missing you, missing you. Oh, baby, how you gonna go and change up? You've been treating me like I'm a stranger. Why you wanna go and throw away love? All I wanna do is try and save us. Baby, how you gonna go and change up? You've been treating me like I'm a stranger. Why you wanna go and throw away love? Baby, how you gonna go and change up? Why you change up? Tell me why you change up. Why you change up? Tell me why you change up.
Actually going to jump to a segment from the team over at GayWire. GayWire is an LGBT radio show out of CJSR FM in Edmonton, which is the not-for-profit campus station there. They're a great program. They've been going for many years.
Okay.
And I recommend you subscribe and follow them, much like you subscribe and follow Canqueer. Give them a listen and let us know. They have, in the other rest of the episode, which we won't be playing, they talk about the election in Alberta and the wedge issue that GSAs have become. We don't have time to touch on that this week.
So
we have
weird.
Talked about it before.
Yeah.
But before I move into that, what was really interesting to me is the sort of exasperation that they're feeling. Like, collectively, the hosts were just tired
yeah.
of their existence being an election topic. So that was a really interesting insight. Anyway, let's hear what they say about their own local town festival deciding to call it quits. And we'll be back just at the end of their talking.
But where'd you hear that? That's
I
not
got
true.
A text about it. I'm like, I was so in shock. I was in shock. I didn't believe. Apologies to the person who texted me. I didn't believe her. I'm like, no, show me this in writing.
Yeah.
And then she sent me the tweet that was going around, and I was like, wow. Yeah, and then I texted you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was... So it
good
was
segue,
announced.
By the way.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought about that when we sat down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we do appreciate
we
a good
do
segue.
Put effort into our segues, yeah. But they often miss.
And then we talk about them a lot.
We comment
we're so
on them
proud.
More than we should. So, okay. You wanted to give us the whole
Well, I'll give you what I'm just finding the official statement.
Should we back up? Because as we've talked about, and we've had people on guests on the show before to talk about this. So last year at Pride, if you missed it, there were some protesters present who stopped the parade briefly with some demands for the Pride organizers. And we actually read those out verbatim multiple times, but even 3 weeks ago when they were printed verbatim in the Gateway, mm-hmm. the U of A student newspaper. So check those out. So for the past year, the Pride Committee, the board, I guess they're called.
Yep.
The board has...
Pride Festival Committee.
Thank you.
Because there's two things happening. We'll talk about that as well.
It's confusing. Let's keep conflating these two organizations.
Yeah.
So the Pride Festival Committee has been meeting with members of... what are the names of the groups?
Shades of Color.
Shades of Color and...
Well, the group that originally stopped it called themselves a coalition of queer and trans people of color, indigenous, mm-hmm. and black folks. So they were just like, from what I understand, they were like a loose coalition that wasn't an established group.
Okay.
And that's who we talked to in the summer.
I thought there was two groups meeting with them, Shades of Color and another one.
I think there is. I'll find the name if, yeah.
We'll come up with that. Mm-hmm. But they've been meeting with the Pride Committee to make Pride more inclusive, especially for marginalized communities, trans people, people of color, people from the black community, indigenous communities. And I guess that fell apart.
Yeah, so then the latest...
2 nights ago?
Yeah, so last Thursday, they had a meeting in which the group of, the community members... We're going to present a list of demands to the Pride Festival Society, and the reports that are coming out through various media outlets and online mm-hmm. is that security was called on those people.
The police.
And the police.
Which is the height of irony.
Yes.
As a gay man, I appreciate irony, but that's painful irony.
Yes. Yes, so this is, to underline it, this was a group of people saying that the police shouldn't be in queer and trans spaces, and then they had the police called on them.
Oh.
Yes.
That is such a misjudgment.
Yes. So, then it was announced, and there was, a lot of people on social media and stuff sort of, calling out the Pride Festival on this, as well as the sort of impasse that they had hit about whether or not these demands would be taken up and taken seriously. And then last night, the Pride Festival Society announced that the parade was canceled for this year. And it was a very short message, and I'm even looking now, and I can't find it on the Pride's official page. I saw it posted through other queer organizations in the city who were posting this information. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And to clarify, so what's been canceled is the parade and anything organized by Pride, what are they called again?
Festival Society.
Pride Festival Society. That doesn't mean that Pride, as in...
Our ability to celebrate.
Our ability to celebrate during that time has been canceled, because if the community organizations that had their events on at the same time as Capital Pride, we'll call it Capital Pride with a little copyright sign at the end of it. Mm-hmm. if you had an event during that week, those events can still go forward.
Right.
And Pride,
so for example,
doesn't own your event.
Yeah. So for example, Evolution mm-hmm. has said that their events will still go forward during the yep. traditional Pride week.
We also celebrate Pride during that time for a specific reason, mm-hmm. and Edmonton Pride Festival, TM, doesn't own any of that. Mm-hmm. We're free to do what mm-hmm. what we want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we've seen that. Like, it was sort of a joke, but it was also very, one of my immediate reactions was I hope the community just plans its own parade. And then within 2 hours, there's now, six parades planned.
Yeah, there's also just, my favorite one my friend sent me was, someone just was like, we're just going to meet at End of Steel Park, inviting everyone to meet at End of Steel Park. And it was like, bring your own freezies. And I was like, oh, yes.
That is literally how Pride... Not literally End of Steel Park with freezies. But, the first Pride parade wasn't They didn't go get a march. I'm assuming there was no marching permit. It was a grassroots.
Mm-hmm. There were no banks in it.
It wasn't. Yes, it wasn't. Definitely wasn't
sponsored by bank TD.
Presents, yeah. Pride.
Yeah.
There were no corporate floats. It was people from the community saying that, you know, yeah, like expressing, I mean, their frustration with the state and the police, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, we're. What was it? We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. That's and we're returning to that, which is what's just one of the four demands of the protesters last year at Pride. The fourth demand was recognize that Pride is started as a protest, mm-hmm. and we definitely got off that when people started saying, you know, Pride isn't political. Pride is a party. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this so much. I mean, you and I personally have talked about this for years. That
we were talking about it when I was on the show.
Yeah,
we were 6 or 7 years ago.
It deviated so much from its original purpose and its original ideals, and in doing so, it became so restrictive and exclusive, and no longer welcoming to everybody that it should be.
Mm-hmm. And it sort of became a question, too, of, like, who is Pride for, right? And so I think you've seen this too, and this is my personal opinion, but you've seen this, too, on the reaction to it. A lot of folks who maybe see themselves as allies but aren't part of the community are, like, just outraged that they lose their Pride parade. And it's like, if on the Saturday in June is the only time you see queer and trans life, and you are upset because you're losing that moment to engage with it or see it or be part of it, then that's a problem.
And you get the opportunity to do that more.
Yeah, because there's six of them.
But also just like, if that's your only experience seeing that, then think about why that is, mm-hmm. and maybe evaluate why it's only this one parade a year that you're having that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And again, this is my personal opinion, but it for me, what bothered me is that it became more of a performance intended to sell stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we need to get the people out to watch because we have all these people coming with free handouts from whatever, mm-hmm. Gillette.
Or whoever, for example.
Yeah.
Yes.
Razors.
Yeah. Yes. So I think it's like, I think this is opened a whole bunch of discussion. And I think there's a whole bunch of things, too, about sort of like, why is it happening? I think the Pride Festival Society put out a very vague explanation last night that just said the social and political climate, which led a lot of people within the community to be confused, and it's not their fault that they were confused, because it was a very vague statement.
It was misleading.
It was, and it led a lot of people, because it said political and social climate, to think about the bigger political social climate, mm-hmm. of the provincial election that we're in. And so there was also speculation of, like, is this happening because we've seen all these, quote, bozo eruptions and the UCP are, you know, maybe the government? That's not what they were referring to, I don't think. Pride Festival Society has said that they're going to offer more information in the coming week, mm-hmm. which also doesn't seem like the most responsible tactic. But
they are also, everyone is stepping lightly. Everyone is trying to be their best selves. Everyone is trying to do the best thing, although we may not think that that's what they're trying to do. But it's, you really have to tiptoe around. Mm-hmm. And they've been called out now. They've had people show up to their meeting. The nature of this meeting, I have so many questions about.
Yeah.
I just hit the mic. But I can understand, and I try in my life to just try to understand what everyone in this situation is feeling rather than side, mm-hmm. Because I just want to do that in my life. And so I think that I can understand why the reaction would be, well, you know what? We aren't doing it right, so let's not do it this year. and figure out how to do it right.
Yeah.
That's what I hope the Pride Festival is doing. Yeah. Yeah. And in the message that they sent out, they're like, oh, tiptoeing around, what's the best wording? What's the best wording? And then, you know, obviously for some people it wasn't the best wording and like that needs to be worked on. But like, it's really hard to do the work when nothing you do is right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so I think that maybe we need to sort of give them the benefit of the doubt. And I don't work for the Pride Festival people. I just like to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. But I think that, and also I would be afraid, because of, I was there yet last year. I was walking with one of the Grand Marshals when the parade was stopped, and there was a lot of anger. There was a lot of tension. There was a lot of like, pretty like nasty insults being thrown both ways. I would, as an organizer of something like that, I would be afraid of the liability of what could possibly happen, especially given the current social climate and political climate that we're in right now with the election. So I could see why it was like, you know what? I want to avoid a riot because that's a huge liability.
Yeah, no, totally fair. And I think like, thinking about it too, that I don't think like, I think my reaction was like, oh, this opens up space for so much more to happen from the community, which I think is exciting and amazing. But also, I agree, like, if the organization found themselves in a position where they couldn't make the changes and were, like, 2 months away from Pride, then canceling it is an option. Like, it is, as you say, like, it's an option that is completely irrational and weird if the commitment is to eventually then do the work for the next 14 months so that when they come back in 2012, if they come back, that 2020. Holy. If they come back in time, 2012. If they come back in 2020.
Back in time.
That,
That theme of that one will be Back to the Future.
Yeah.
2012.
But canceling it. If it was canceled for a good reason, then cancel it for a good reason. But they didn't offer a reason. If you're going to cancel the parade, you've got to put out a proper text or news briefing or put it on the website. Like, explain. Yeah.
But maybe that's coming later.
Yeah.
In a week.
I mean, they said.
Dear Pride
Festival. So we can wait. Like, and we will. We'll make sure we can see what that explanation is if it comes out. And how they move forward with it. I mean, I think it comes at a really interesting time because, like, there's pride parades across the country. I don't know a pride parade that isn't having a discussion like this.
Mm-hmm.
And should be noted that it was largely spurred on by Black Lives Matter Toronto protesting in 2016 at their Toronto Pride Parade. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of, in a really, I think, good, productive way, like, ignited these conversations that people have been having and that we need to have in the community about police and racism and exclusion and all of those sorts of things. And what we, like, want our queer and trans spaces to be, right? Like, what we actually want from the Pride Parade. Like, why is it important? Clearly, it sparks emotional and, like, reactions in people. Clearly it's important to people still.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do we want to do with that thing that we sort of, like, collectively hold? And I think it's really interesting, too, that this is the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. And
yes.
And that we're not going to have an official parade. I don't know. I kind of...
But that's almost perfect.
Beautiful. Yeah, it is.
It's kind of beautiful.
That's how it started. Stonewall didn't get a... The rioters didn't ask for permission to start rioting.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be really, it's going to be like a really exciting time. And I think so far from what I've heard, there's the party at End of Steel Park. There's a march on June 28th because that's the actual 50th anniversary of Stonewall that's going to happen, I think, at the legislature. I'm not totally sure on that. I've heard of others happening on White and other places, right? Like, but it's like, maybe we'll even have a month of it. Like, the Pride Parade was supposed to be on June 8th, so there's stuff planned for that, but also the 28th, and all the other Pride events are still happening.
Well, we will report every event that we can.
We can be people on the ground just reporting at every, at all six of them.
Oh, that'd be really fun.
Yeah, we'll be. Yeah, we'll make sure.
We have 2 months to to collect all the details.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's like a really exciting time, and I wonder too if it will spark sort of similar reactions or moments in other cities.
Well, Calgary's Pride is in September, mm-hmm. so they've been given warning, I guess, about here's what happens if you can't get your acting mm-hmm. here.
Yeah,
that's two metaphors.
I also wanted to mention that some cities across Canada, I know Victoria does this, they have an alt pride, mm-hmm. which is like is a grassroots organized event, and it's just like we march through around Victoria, and I say we because I attended one year. They march through just like around, and there's no police presence. They don't ask for. I don't believe they ask for permission to do it. I think they just do it. Traffic stopped, but also this is the island, so they run on a different system.
I know, I've scootered around there and realized that's okay. You can go like 30.
Yeah. You're like, eh. Oh, it's a wonderful place. Yeah. I love Victoria. This is just a PSA.
Yeah.
Move to Victoria. Anyway,
yeah.
And then at the end, there's like some music and people have booths and it's like very low key and very chill and very inclusive and they work really hard to make it that way, and it's not part of the like big pride festival, you know, mm-hmm. like it's specifically alternative to that, and this gives us the opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. And there's like trans and dyke marches that happen and have happened in different places, mm-hmm. which are very much a march, and they are political, and they are, you know, mm-hmm. They don't have like political parties or corporations or any of that sort of stuff in them.
Yeah. And we did have 2 years of the YEG Women and Trans Festival, which something happened to. I was involved in the first year, weren't you too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I moved jobs.
Yeah.
I was differently employed, so I couldn't organize it anymore.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so there's those parts too, and I think like I don't know if this is like me just projecting my personal experience onto an entire community of people, most of whom I don't know, mm-hmm. but it has felt it has felt like you know, the queer and trans community in Alberta had 44 years of feeling very unrepresented in politics.
They weren't represented before.
All right, okay, 100 and however many, 1905, and then before then.
Ever.
As long as like colonizers have been on this land.
Social credit wasn't great either.
You're right. Okay, so what I'm saying is, I don't know, I felt like, I think it was like a culmination of a bunch of things, but for the past 4 years, that the queer community and trans community has certainly been doing a ton of work, but it hasn't been to the vocal, loud degree that we've seen in Alberta history in the past. And it seems like in anticipation of this election that like things are in motion, that people are rising. And I think that this year at Pride, perhaps regardless of how the election goes, that it's going to be pretty big and it's going to be pretty loud. And I think you'll see like the community coming back together in new and different ways. But
hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, that's me projecting because I burnt out 4 years ago. But I'm back. Yeah.
This might be my burnout year. But I hope not.
You just restarted on Gaywire.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, it's my comeback year.
But maybe. Also take care of yourself if you need to burn out, you know?
Yeah. No, burnout's the wrong word. Just like laying back, I guess it's like more.
Yeah.
Descriptive.
No, and I mean, it can be, like, we sort of said at the beginning, like, so personally and emotionally taxing
mm-hmm.
to engage in this kind of politics, to be, mm-hmm. to remain informed. And it's understandable if their way of, like, just sort of protecting themselves is to not engage. That's their way of doing it, and that's, I mean, that's their way of surviving. But yeah.
Yeah.
Porque te quieres, te quieres, tu mente en forma, te eliges porque hay camino, te digo, hay otras cosas, la venda ya cayó.
te rezas porque confías, te sientes que ya tenías, te vives alto voltaje, te traje buenas noticias, te vales y ya no fuerzas, te vives y te interesas, te saltas, no quedan normas, ahora la vida loca, la venda ya cayó.
That was La Venda by Mika, Spain. It's official entry to the Eurovision Song.
It's Miki, not Mika.
Miki by La Venda.
Miki is a French Algerian bisexual dude who we like to play every so often.
That's Mika, isn't it?
Yeah, Mika. This is Miki.
That's right. Yeah. Different person. Anyway, this is La Venda by Miki. Spain's official entry. I like it. This is one of their top five planned for, or the sort of top five emerging for the grand final in May. And I like it. It's so upbeat. It's a nice change.
Spain usually sends someone who's good. And usually there's a formula that if you follow the formula, you're going to win Eurovision. And Spain almost never follows the formula. They just send someone who they personally feel ought to win without caring if they're probably going to win. And that's something that I do like about the Spanish approach to Eurovision. I don't know. It might be reflective of the Spanish character in some way that I'm not familiar with. But yeah, I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah.
So before we move on from the Edmonton piece, what I thought was really interesting was sort of their take that with the official festival cancelled for this year, that there's this sort of smorgasbord of people coming together and creating opportunity. And what struck me was, you know, quick sidebar for our listeners, queer was a term of insult, but then it became an academic term for... You know, you've got the average, you've got the standard, the normal, the thing that happens most often. And the thing that's other, the other bit, whatever's outside of that is considered to be queer. It's non-normative.
That actually started in queercore punk music. And then from there, because punk became academic, so there was, it was a long
So process. Anything that's not the norm can be considered queer. So I mention that because what I love about this news is, first of all, it's awful news that this is happening. But the community in Edmonton is essentially queering a Pride Festival.
Yeah.
You know, what does a Pride Festival look like? And if we can't do that, what's the other options? What's around that that we can make happen?
This is something we discussed last week and I think the week before that we mentioned it briefly as well, the role of the board in a Pride Festival, generally speaking, is they're there to file the paperwork and to get the permits. Mm-hmm. You know, they book the grounds to put the festival, they book the grounds to put the community fair, they book the roads to hold the parade, and then the community is supposed to come together. So, I mean, you and I have both sat on boards of Pride, and both of us have overheard people complaining, why are there so many events for bears at Pride? And the answer is because they're very well organized and they throw their own parties. And that's the whole point, is that the festival is there to supply the framework for the community to come together to do their own thing. And whenever you know, there's people complaining, why isn't there this kind of event? Why isn't there that kind of event? And the answer is because...
Y'all not making it.
Because you're not making it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's... I can understand that there's... That is both... an insufficient, but also a deeply practical answer, because like I don't want to see my local pride board, you know, organizing some kind of Afro-Caribbean queer event, because they're not Afro-Caribbean. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do it right. It needs to be the Afro-Caribbean community that makes it happen. Now, that said, whenever Pride puts on any kind of event, it has to be maximally accessible.
Yeah.
It has to be a fair ticket price. It needs to have, like, you know, physical disability accessibility. It has to have, you know, it should have at least some dry options for people who are in recovery. Like, it should be maximally accessible, and they should do one event, and the community should band together and do their own stuff. And historically, they've done that just fine. And well, people are rediscovering this approach of, like, Pride, if the board shuts down, parties are still going to happen.
And I think that's part of the crux of it, is the Pride Festival in Edmonton hasn't been cancelled.
Yeah.
Because people are going to do things anyway.
They're going to do it, yeah.
You know, and I think what's happening is the parade and the sort of organized corporation of Pride has opted out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of differing opinions about why they're opting out, whether or not it's the cowardice or it's strategic or there's the politics at the time. We're not going to get into it.
I don't blame them. I get it. I don't blame them. I wish they didn't, but I get it.
I think there would have been... I think
that's my very, very short answer.
I wanted to move on quickly from that before we run out of time and talk about Out Saskatoon, which is an organization in, obviously, Saskatoon.
Are they trying to, like, be better Saskatonians than other Saskatonians? Because they're trying to out-Saskatoon each other?
Oh.
No?
I would love to see what that looks like.
Because I
can... be a very Canadian-Canadian-off.
Out-Ontarian-ing each other is, like, that's just Letterkenny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Going fishing in Quebec.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, so Out Saskatoon was recently awarded $1.1 million to help LGBT survivors of gender violence. Now, Stats Canada says that nearly 50% of LGBT individuals say they've experienced violence, and it's a particularly high rate for youth.
Yes.
So 15 and older have had it, compared to 30% of the heterosexual.
A couple of years ago, I was very deeply involved with census data over the past 20 years, and something that came up was that the largest group for experiencing violence, well, in terms of raw numbers, is... gender non-conforming, gay-identified males, 18 to 25.
Wow.
Very specifically, and they had an entire section on this specific category and the frequency for which they experience violence. But they also pointed out, this is probably just because if you look at the demographics, gay men make a very, very large group.
Mm-hmm.
So more gay men experience violence. But if you look at trans people, who are a smaller part of the population, but a lot of them experience violence, so more... individual trans people relative to
the per capita of trans
will experience violence, but the police will come across more gay men aged 18 to 25 who's experienced violence. So it's this weird kind of thing, and the state knows all this.
So Out Saskatoon didn't get a blank check of $1.1 million off the bat. It's actually a 5-year program for 2 projects.
Okay.
So what's really interesting about this is that Out Saskatoon, which has really sort of struggled with day-to-day funding, let alone any kind of longevity,
right,
now has a clear funding income on a 5-year timeline to thoroughly address these projects. And what they've said is, we can really focus on hiring the most qualified staff. We can really focus on preparing the projects, evaluating them, and with a timeline that long, with secure funding to that degree,
right,
they can be incredibly effective in executing these programs. So well, I'm excited. I think this is great news for Out Saskatoon, and I think it's a great benefit for the Prairies in terms of being able to do that work. So
okay,
yeah, very good news. There was other news.
Yeah,
but we don't have time to get to it.
We should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, that's all we've got time for. I'm going to talk about trans folks. I'm going to be playing out with Ray Spoon with a great track called "Do Whatever the Heck You Want," which is really about, should you conform to gender stereotypes? You know, you do you. You do you. Do what the heck you want. And let's leave it at that. Anyways, I've been Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
What does that really mean? Should I be outside of it or something? An accountant.